I've been doing it on Sunday morning, but during the month of December, we might be going back and forth a little bit with some type of Christmas themes. And you say, Pastor, you're going to talk about the Christmas story a little bit already? Look, if they can have decorations out in September, I can preach a Christmas message the Sunday after Thanksgiving. So, it'll be okay. Now, if you want to hear the story, continue on in the series in the book of Genesis, we will be talking tonight. We're going to be talking about having a servant's heart tonight as we look at Abraham's servant as Abraham sends him out to find a wife for his son. And it's a really fascinating passage of scripture, and I encourage you to make sure you're here tonight at 6 o'clock as we talk about that. Title tonight's, this morning's message is Christmas is a Time of Hope. Christmas is a Time of Hope. Now, I know the type of hope that you might be thinking about might be different than the type of hope I'm going to be talking about this morning, but Christmas is really a time where it's built a lot of times on hope. You think about it, most children, most teenagers have a certain gift that they're hoping for. Oh, let's just grab that. Pretty much children, adult, teenagers, everyone usually is hoping for some type of a certain gift. You say, well, now the gifts aren't important to me. Well, some people are hoping that their family can come in. Maybe that would work for the adults a little bit better. Some people are really hoping that it's going to snow this year at Christmas. Some are really hoping that it will not snow this year at Christmas. So, you know, hope on the physical things is a wish. The dictionary describes it this way. It's to have a wish to get to do something or to have something. A wish for something to happen or for something to be true. Especially something that seems possible or likely. Now, Christmas is called many times the most wonderful time of year, and that's based off of people's hopes of what it's Christmas and the excitement about the things surrounding Christmas. And to be honest with you, the Christmas season truly is a wonderful time to gather with friends and family and for fellowship and encouragement. But so often, the most important reason is left out. So this morning, as we look at the final Sunday in November, as we look toward the Christmas season, I'd like to have just a little thoughts there about how Christmas is a time of hope. But, you know, for many people today around the world, it's a time of despair. It's a time of hopelessness. It's a time of unrest. Some people have no financial resources maybe to give the gifts that they like to, especially to their children. Some people might have lost a loved one recently, or some people might be facing a death that might be coming in the near future. You know, in an imperfect world that we live in, many times it seems like things are going really well one minute, and the next minute they're broken. It seems like everything can be certain, and then everything is thrown into uncertainty and chaos in just a moment's time. And if our hope is here in this world and with physical things, we can become very despaired and hopeless. But biblical hope is a little bit different. Biblical or Bible hope refers to a sure or certain expectations, which, because they are still in the future, create a sense of anticipation. The hope we mean is the ones that are based on God's words and the promises of God's words. When we speak of hope as a Christian or as a biblical sense, we are the hope that Christ will return again, because we believe he will, according to what the Bible says. The hope of the fact that Jesus has promised he'll never leave us or forsake us. You know, if we look at hope being that way, then it changes the perspective on the little things and even the big things that happens in our world. I don't know about you, but there's times in our lives when the things that we've been dreaming of turn into a nightmare. There have been times in our lives when we were hoping and we were expecting for a certain thing to happen physically in this world, and maybe someone passed away. Maybe some tragedy happened. I remember I was probably somewhere around 10 or 11 years old. I thought I was going to become a world-class athlete. I was really, really good at soccer. I really thought I was something special. At least I thought I was. My parents even agree with me. Of course, I think they were biased too. But at the age of 11, some of you have heard this story before. At the age of 11, my world was turned upside down. I went blind in one of my eyes. And because of that, they had to put me on a certain steroid to be able to shrink the optical nerve behind my eye, which caused me to be, as a fifth grade boy, to go from probably being 90 pounds of lean muscle to being about 150 pounds of not so much muscle. And you know what? My world was turned upside down there. And I was a kid, so I don't remember all the details of the things, but I know that those things I used to love doing weren't as easy anymore. The athletic ability just wasn't there anymore. You say, oh, that's not that important. Well, to me as a kid, that was something I really loved. That's something I really thought could be in the future for me, but my hopes are dashed. In the story this morning, we're going to come to a Bible character who was having a wonderful life. He was a good man. The Bible even calls him a just man, where everything seemed to be going well. And according to the plan he had in his world, got turned upside down. And most of us know this is a story about Joseph. He's hit with some unexpected news, and he struggles with how to handle this news. His dream was falling apart right before his eyes. His hope for a wonderful, rosy future seemed to be suddenly dissipated. He just didn't know what to do, and God steps in and reveals to him hope, even in his desperate situation. We're talking about Joseph finding out that Mary was pregnant. I don't know about you, but man, if you were dreaming and hoping of a wonderful marriage and that's going to last for so long and everything was going to be great and rosy, let's look here in Matthew chapter 1. Let's start here in verse number 18. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise when as his mother, talking about Jesus' mother, was espoused to Joseph before they came together. Now, we see here first this word espoused. Now, in an American society today, this is observed usually a time of engagement. And when these couples would exchange, make the promise that someday they will get married. Back in Jewish times, it was a little bit different. Back in Jewish times, they were actually legally married when they became espoused. Back in Jewish times, the man that's seeking the wife would go and make an agreement with the wife's father, many times paying some type of dowry or paying something to be able to provide for the opportunity to marry his wife. And during this time, they would go and then prepare the house. Sometimes they would go build the house or prepare the location. But I can imagine that these guys are already married and legally and technically in everyone's eyes, and they're going to prepare the house. And I'm sure Joseph was wishing the days of separation period would speed by. Eagerly, he was beginning to plan his new life with Mary, and he was in love and had already committed himself to her for the rest of his life. We can imagine much of his free time was spent by dreaming about the moment that they would be able to come together and at the moment that they could spend the rest of their lives together. But his world is turned upside down. The hopes he had for this marriage come to a crumbling end in his mind when he finds out that she is with child. Now look what it says, and let's read verse 18 again. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on the wise, when as his mother Mary was a spouse of Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Jesus, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Now, the Bible says that he was a just man. That means he was righteous in what he did. He tried to obey the law. He was a good man. He also, you see that he was a compassionate man because of the fact that we see that he does not want to make a public example of her. You say, Joseph had three choices here. He could actually go and make a public example of Mary and say, I have not been with this woman. This woman's pregnant. She has cheated on me. And because of that, I think she should be put to death. And they would actually put her outside the city and they would stone her to death because of the fact that she was pregnant. She wasn't allowed to have sexual relationships before marriage, obviously. Or he could put her away privily, meaning that he could just very quietly divorce her and not make a big deal of it, even though everyone would know and see what was going on. Or he could choose to marry her and continue on just acting as if it was her child and they just couldn't wait to get married. It would be a shameful thing, especially in this day and time and in this area. But Joseph here, while he is wondering what he is going to do, look what it says in verse 20. It says in verse number 19, he's wondering what's going on, what he's going to do. He makes the decision that he's going to treat her with compassion. He's not going to make a public decision. He is thinking on these things. He's not making a split-second decision. And he says in verse number 20, by while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take thee unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us? Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, what can we learn from this story this morning? I think there's a lot of things that we can learn, but the thing we're going to focus on today is, what's your hope found in this Christmas season? If your hope is found in having the perfect day with the perfect weather, with the perfect people, with the perfect gifts, you know what? You might be disappointed. But if your hope is found in the promises of God, if your hope is found in God's plan and the fact that God's presence, if your hope is found in what God is able to do through your life this Christmas season, you will not be disappointed. Even though something physically might turn out to be tragic, even though something might be turned upside down, even though what you're dreaming of might become a nightmare physically, spiritually, your hope can be found in what Joseph found his hope in. He found hope in God's plan. How he responded, his hope responds in a God-pleasing way, and then his hope is found in the fact that God is with us. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on the sermon this morning. Lord, we need to hear from you. Lord, I know that we've heard many stories of the Christmas season. And Lord, I pray that we just have the right thought process of this upcoming Christmas, that as a Christian, we have the real reason for this season. And Lord, that we have hope in what is done on this Christmas morning and what comes later on when Christ died on the cross for us. Lord, that you have a plan for us and the hope that's in us. And Lord, the hope that we have for the world. Lord, all those things are things that should be reminded during the Christmas season. And as we are reminded of these things, we express this hope to those that are around us. Lord, the little things of this world, so many times we get caught up so much with them that we forget all about you. Help us have the right perspectives this Christmas. Help us to see that Christmas is a time of hope, not because of what we're hoping we can do or what we can get. It's a time of hope because you came for us and was willing to die for us and provide salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Three things I want you to see here. And then once again, Joseph was planning on having this great, great wedding and having this great life of Mary. Remember, Joseph was a just man. He was a spiritually minded man. He was a good man. And we know that Mary was what? She was a good girl. I mean, she was well favored by God and she was chosen by God to bear Jesus Christ. So we see here that these are two godly people coming together to fortify this marriage and to probably live a long and productive, happy life together. And they're excited. And once again, she's found with a child. And this is going to cause everything to turn around. I just want to try to get this to you this morning. I know in some of your lives, things have just been turned upside down. And so many times our lives become to the point where we just don't know how to handle things. We need to remember where our hope is found in. Our hope is not found in this world, but it's found in a God that can do all things. First thing I want you to see is hope in God's plan. Hope in God's plan. I believe that the reason why Joseph was able to continue on and do what God had asked him to do and God chose Joseph to do is because he had hope in God's plan. Look what it says in verses 21 and through 23. You say, what do you mean by God's plan? I mean God's plan for mankind. Here in In Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, the Bible says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that in it might be fulfilled, which was spoken to the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Here's the idea of what God's plan for mankind was. No, way back before the world was ever created, there was this plan that was made. God knew that man was going to sin. God knew that man was going to need a Savior. You go all the way back to Genesis chapter number 3, you see there was a promise of a Savior, a Redeemer of the world that was going to come into this world and save the people from their sins. This is what Mary is bringing into the world. Jesus Christ is what Mary is going to bring, the Savior of the world. See, God had a plan for this world. You say, why did God need a plan for this world? Well, because in the garden, man sinned. The Bible says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death was passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, see, this is why it's important. It's one of the important things about the Christmas season is you notice where the Bible says, it says that in verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child. Now, what this means, what most of us know, is that a virgin is someone who has not had sexual encounter. It is miraculous that she is with child. She's with child, the Holy Ghost. Now, I'll put a little side note here. In some versions of the Bible, here and in the book of, or in the book of Isaiah, they take the word virgin out and they put a young woman there. You know why they do that? Is because they're trying to say that she wasn't virgin born. You need to be careful what version of the Bible you use. Because when you take the word virgin out and say a young woman, you know what? Many young women become pregnant. It doesn't even say young women that wasn't married. It says a young woman was going to become pregnant. There's no sign to that. But the sign was the fact that the woman was not known, has not known a man, and that God put this child inside this woman. That's what makes it special. And see, when death was passed upon all men, it was not passed down to Jesus, because Jesus was not made of a man. He was made of God. And see, there's a difference there. And sometimes people will take that and they try to corrupt and twist things around. And you need to be careful what you look at and what versions of the Bible you use. That's why we use the King James here and the purpose for it, because of the, it's not made of the critical, corrupt text. It's made of a different text. And it's careful. And I encourage you that if you have questions about that, to search that out and study it for yourself. But this is one of the examples where some of the versions of the Bible will take a word and replace it with another thought that changes doctrine completely. See, God had a plan. God knew that death and sin was going to be passed upon all men, and that he needed a substitute that was going to come and die for all mankind. But he could not take a substitute or a sacrifice that had sin in them. So something special had to be done. So he developed this plan. He made this plan that there was going to be a virgin that was going to conceive, and that this child was going to become the Savior of the world. Listen to what it says in Luke chapter 2. And the angel said unto him, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David," that next two words, "a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." See, Jesus Christ was coming to this world to save us from our sins. You say, "Pastor, why do I need to be saved from my sins?" So the Bible tells us, for the wages of sin is death. The sin that we have in our lives will cause us to be dead, cause death. Not just a physical death, but a spiritual death, an eternal separation from God and a horrible place called hell. And what God had made this plan together, and God's plan for mankind was that Jesus Christ would come, the Son of God would come and be born of a woman and would live a sinless, perfect life, and then would die on the cross as our substitute, as our payment. See, the reason why we have hope today isn't because of something we're going to get for Christmas. The reason why you have hope today is that God, the Son, said he was willing to come to this world to live a perfect life, to die on a cross, to provide a way of salvation for us. He was buried, he rose again, and he triumphantly defeated sin, the grave, and death all at one time. And so we could have an opportunity to be saved. See, this is God's plan for mankind. This is why Christmas, the whole idea of Christmas, is all about hope. It's because of the fact what Jesus Christ did for us. It's not a maybe so, it's not a hope so in the idea. Biblical hope is based off of the solid fact that God has promised us he is coming again for his people. Romans 9:10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from your sins. Saved from the penalty of sins. If you do not get saved through the blood of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, you will be eternally, eternally damned in a place called hell. And we must understand that we have hope, because the Bible says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And it also says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You can be saved from your sins and your penalty of sins, but there is no other way through Jesus, but through Jesus Christ. This morning, if you're here and you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart as your Savior, you might be hoping for things this Christmas. But the biblical hope that we have, our faith and trust embedded in, is not something that you have. Your world might turn upside down, and if all you're hoping is in physical things, guess what? That's all you can hope for. But if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, no matter what happens in this world, nothing will ever change the fact that you're a child of God and that you can go to heaven when you die. If you have not done that, let me encourage you in a little while to let somebody take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. Not only is it a hope or in God's plan for mankind, but it's a hope for God's plan for a man's life. Now I want you to think about this. Joseph here is in a quandary. Verse number 20, he's thinking about these things. But God has a different plan for him. Sure, he was planning a happily ever after marriage. Sure, he was going to do all the things that he was planning on doing and having many kids and living a long life with Mary. But this turned into falling apart right before his eyes. Perhaps he might even question why God would allow something like this into his life. But we must remember that no matter what is going around us, or how little it makes sense for us, God is always right, and his will is based on his understanding and his word. So Joseph has a choice here. Joseph can trust his emotions of what to do with Mary and put her away privily, or he can trust God and his plan when God tells him to take Mary to be his wife. See, when you find yourself in a place where you don't understand what seems to be part of God's plan, you have the same choice. You have a choice of doing what feels right or counting on God's faithfulness. I don't know about you, but I've learned over the years, there have been times when I knew God wanted me to do something, and I said, look, Lord, that's just not what I'm feeling like. I'd rather do it this way. But over and over, my feelings never changed God's will for my life. My will never changed his plans. And we need to understand that God has a wonderful plan. You think about it. Joseph here is going to have the opportunity to raise the Son of God in his home. He did not know what was going on. He did not understand all that was going on. Think about it. This very child Israel had been waiting for thousands of years was in the womb of Mary, was made of a woman. The hope of the world was wrapped up in this doctrinal truth that Jesus Christ is not like, was not of any human father. He was the Son of God. And this plan was better than anything Joseph could ever came up with. You say, what are you getting at? I'm getting at that we have hope that God has a plan for a man's life, a plan for a woman's life, a plan for a child's life and a teen's life. God is sovereign. He knows all things. He knows from the beginning to the end. And if we will learn to hope in God's plan for us instead of hoping in what we think is best, then we can also understand that it will be a life of peace and trusting and contentment. Don't ever think that you're second rate just because you do what God wants you to do. Young person, don't ever think you're second rate because the hope for your life is found in what God can do for you instead of what you can do for yourself. I'm sure Joseph had plans for him and Mary. I'm sure they did not include the ridicule, the shame that came along with this announcement of Mary's pregnancy. But God had a plan for mankind, and God had a plan for Joseph's life, and he had hope in God's plan more than he had hope in what others are going to give and say around him. See, this world that we live in, our culture, has created us an illusion that cannot be personally attained. You see, in the world's eye, we'll never be thin enough. We'll never be tan enough. We'll never be funny enough. We'll never be rich enough, attractive enough, stylish enough, or worthy enough in the world's eyes. Following the trends of this world will not lead to contentment or peace, but instead, you will always be a little bit shy of that elusive happiness that the world offers but never fulfills. But there's an alternative. We have a God that loves us, who knows all our faults, who knows all our flaws, knows everything about us, and still loves us. He knows you better than you could even know yourself. He cares enough to offer you a better plan, a better way. He cares enough to offer you a plan for your life. It might not always be easy, but it's better than anything you could ever come up with on your own. Say, Pastor, what are you getting at? I'm telling you that we have hope in God's plan because he saved us. But not only did he save us, as we see in Joseph's life, Joseph had his own thoughts. Joseph had his own mind. Joseph had his own intentions of what he was going to do. But he realized God's plan was better. Think about some of the verses that talk about this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Wouldn't you agree that? God knows more than we do. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Wouldn't you agree that he would have a better idea of what we should do with our lives than we ourselves? The Bible even says in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. You know what? Everybody looked at Joseph's life. You know what they would have said about Joseph? Hey, that's wrong what Mary did. Mary should never have done that. People would have looked at Joseph and said, God had something evil planned for you. Why would God ever let that happen? Why? 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 And God says, look, my thoughts are not evil toward you. They're thoughts of peace. They're trying to get to an expected end. God's saying, I got a plan for you. I got a purpose for you. You might not understand everything right away. You might not understand what's going on, but my plan is better than anything you could ever come up with yourself. And I'm tired of seeing and hearing people say that it's secondary or it's second best or second rate if you want to serve the Lord. Oh, good. You can become a preacher if you can't do anything else. You know, no. It is about what God's plan for you is, because God's plan is what's best, and we can have hope in God's plan. Your plan begins with salvation, but after that, God has something in store for each and every one of you. And don't just throw it away and say, I wonder what I should do. Joseph didn't throw it away and say, okay, I'm going to put her away privily, and then I'm going to go find myself a woman that's going to be faithful to me. Boy, what a blessing he would have missed out on. The opportunity to be able to be known, know Christ, and also to be able to help raise him. God is too kind to do anything cruel. God is too wise to make a mistake. And God is too deep to explain himself. We need to understand God has a plan. He has a plan for mankind, but he has a plan for your life. Don't just hope in his plan for mankind when it comes to salvation. Embrace the fact that he has a plan for your life. And when things come into your life, even though it might seem like the things you're dreaming about, they turn into a nightmare, doesn't matter. God's in control and he has a plan. Second thing is that not only is it hope for God's plan, but that hope responds in a God-pleasing way. Hope responds in a God-pleasing way. Look at what it says in verses 24 and 25. Joseph hears of this. Joseph, what does he do once he responds? Verse 24 says, Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. So he is risen up from thinking on these things. He is raised from his sleep. And what does he do? He does what he is told. What was he told to do? He was told to take Mary to be thy wife. So he gets up and he takes Mary to be his wife and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. First thing is, hope responds with faith. Hope responds in a God-pleasing way. He responds in faith. As soon as Joseph understands what is happening in his life, he reacts in faith. He goes and takes Mary into his home, his heart, and his heart as his wife. His is a response of pure faith. He still doesn't know how things are going to work out, but he knows that God is working them out, and that is enough for Joseph. Joseph's decision must have shocked the whole community. Probably everyone assumed that Joseph and Mary was not able to wait for their wedding night, but he was willing to bear the shame of Mary's pregnancy because he knew it was the work of God. And this is true faith. It does not shrink from the call of God just because other people do not understand. True faith hears the voice of the Lord and simply does it. If you really have hope in God and hope in God's plan, it's going to respond with faith. Joseph gets up, he goes and gets Mary and brings her to be his wife. It responds with faith. If you really have the hope that Jesus Christ died and you're on your way to heaven and you have a hope that God's plan is in your life, you're going to be responding with faith. But not only are you going to be responding with faith here, but you're going to be responding quickly. Hope responds quickly. He doesn't take time to think about it. He doesn't take time to try to decide, oh, should I do this? Should I do not? He heard from God. And when he heard from God, he says, that's enough. I'm going to do it. And we need to learn as believers, if there's something that we get from God, we must not sit there and contemplate and say, oh, I wonder if I should do this or if I should not do it. The Bible is filled with promises, but it's also filled with commandments that are not choices. But so many times Christians wonder, should I be faithful to church? Should I give? Should I tell someone about Christ? Should I love my husband? Should I love my wife? Should I obey my parents? But no, we should not. If we know it's from God, as Joseph learned from God, he responds quickly and he says, hey, look, God has told me he has a plan. His plan is for me to take Mary. I'm going to go and do what God has told me to do. We need to stop wondering whether or not we should do God's will and respond the way that Joseph did and say, okay, God wants me to do this. I'm going to do it quickly. But also, he responds by refraining. He responds, hope responds by refraining. Pastor, what are you getting at? You know what, if we're going to do God's will, there's going to be things that our flesh wants us to do that we got to learn to say no to. Look what it says in verse 25. And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, Joseph may have taken Mary into his home, but what does he refrain from doing? He refrains from the sexual relations. He had respect for God's plan. He knew that she was supposed to be a virgin when Jesus was born. This, too, was a response of faith. Instead of demanding what was rightfully his as a husband, he willingly lay aside his rights so that the will of God might be accomplished. And once again, this is a hard thing for a young man to say, hey, I'm willing to wait because this is what God wants me to do. True faith willingly sets aside our own desires to do the will of God. Often God calls on our lives that will be hard for things on our lives that will be hard for us to accept and hard to do. But faith doesn't seek the easier road. Faith knows that God has already surveyed the way and knows what he wants done and just simply says, here am I, Lord, send me. This is what Joseph does. Okay, Lord, he doesn't say, Lord, how are you going to work it out? Lord, what am I going to tell my parents? Lord, what is it that I'm going to do? He doesn't do that. He gets up, he responds, and he knows what he's supposed to do. How can a man respond this way? How can, when he was dreaming of all these things, turn around and say, okay, Lord, all my dreams are gone, but I'm still going to do what you want me to do. I think it's found in verse number 23. There's hope in God's presence. There's hope in God's presence. Look what it says in 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. I want you to look at this word Emmanuel. Emmanuel here says, which being interpreted is God with us. Now, I understand that Emmanuel here is referring that God came and he walked among us and he walked with us. But I also think there is a part of this that we can say that God has promised that he would be with us. You say he's called Jesus, then you say he's called Emmanuel. So here's the point. He had to be called Jesus first. He had to be willing to come here before he could ever be called Emmanuel. He had to be willing to come and be a part of us and walk among us to be able to be with us. And now he's called Emmanuel because he has come and been with us. Hopefully you understand what the point is. But the main thing and the thought here I wanted to bring across is God has promised us he'll always be with us. You know, our jobs could be gone. Our families many times are crumbling all around us. You know, over 1 million children yearly experience divorce of their parents. There is not the community relationships that used to be. There's not the good neighbors relationships that used to be. Yet it might seem like it's the world has gone dark. But you know what God's promised us? He promised us his presence. Listen to what it says in Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things that you have. He's saying, look, let your life be without wanting and desiring more things or hoping for things you can't have. Be content with such things as you have. And he says, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I want to close with this thought. Here's the point. How could Joseph do this? How could he face ridicule? How could he face the shame? It's because he had this understanding that God was going to be with him throughout the whole journey. God was going to be with him. And this brings to me an exciting thought. Is, I don't know about you, but I love reading the stories of the Bible of men that were willing and women that were willing to face difficulties, tragedies, willing to go through fires, willing to face swords, willing to face giants, all these things because they knew that God was going to go through it with them. You think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing before the greatest king of all time, actually the most powerful king of all time. And they said, we're not careful to answer you on this matter. They were willing to face the fiery furnace because they knew God was going to go with them. Think about David. He hears Goliath mocking his God. What does he do? He was willing to go fight the Goliath. Why? Because he knew God was going to be there with him. It was part of God's plan. You think about the story of the Red Sea. All the Israelites, they're fearful. Pharaoh's army is coming. The Red Sea is in front of him. Moses says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He knew God was there with him. He knew God was going to help him. You say, how in the world can Joseph, even though his world was falling apart, still serve God? It's because he knew Emmanuel, that God was with him. God was always going to be with him. God could see him through this. He did not understand the whole plan, but he knew God was in control and in charge, and he was a just man, and he wanted to do what was right, and he obeyed God. You think about the stories of Paul sitting in the prison cell and God saying he's there with him. We think about the story of Elisha. Remember how Elisha woke up from his sleep and he's surrounded. He's in a valley. He's surrounded all across the mountaintop by an enemy army. I think it was the Assyrians. They were there and Elisha's servant gets up out of the tent first and he sees this great army. He runs in and wakes Elisha up or tells Elisha, there's a great army. What are we going to do? And Elisha says something like, he that is with us is more than them. And the servant thinks he's crazy and he prays and he asks that the servant's eyes be open, and the servant's eyes is open and he sees this great army of fiery fighters or angels that is around them. And it's just revealing to Elisha's servant something that Elisha already knew, that God was with him and God was going to protect him. As we come to this Christmas season, this Christmas thought, yes, we need to make Christ the main reason. He is the reason for the season. I get that. But do we have hope in God? Do we have hope? See, what are you hoping for this Christmas season? I know, I'm hoping our family will come. I'm hoping that Christmas dinner doesn't get burned. I'm hoping that I get the gift I want. I'm talking about biblical hope. What is God's plan for you this Christmas season? I can almost guarantee it. He wants you to be faithful. I can guarantee to you that he wants you to serve some way or another. And I'm not saying just inside a church. It's serving the Lord by honoring him. It's serving the Lord by being a witness. Serving the Lord by being faithful. I mean, what is your hope in? See, if our hope is found in our finances, that's when we put the credit cards in. They can provide for us what we think we determine or what we deserve. Or is our hope founded and rock bedded in the fact that God has a plan? His plan was Jesus coming to this world. Then he rock bedded in the fact that God has a plan for my life. Not, let's make it personal. God has something he wants me to do this Christmas. And then let's respond to it by faith. Let's do it by faith. Let's do it quickly. And let's do it respectfully. Let's do it the exact way God wants us to. And let's remember that God is going to be with us. Even when it seems like the things that we are dreaming of are turning into nightmares and everything is falling around us, remember, our hope is not in the physical things of this world. Our hope is not what we can get out of Christmas. Our hope is found in the promises he has given us in his word. This year, Christmas is all about hope. And the reason why Joseph could have hope is because he clung to this thought that God was going to use him and God was going to be with him. This morning, what type of hope are you found? What is your hope in today? Is it in God? This morning, are you a Christian? If you died today, do you know that you would go to heaven? Let me encourage you to come forward if you're not sure how to answer that question. See, Jesus Christ, God's plan for mankind was that Christ would come and die for the sins of the world, pay the sin penalty so that people could go to heaven when they die. Have you taken advantage of that? Have you confessed your sins, repented of your sins, and cried out to Christ to save you? This morning, Christmas is a season of hope. Not hoping what gift or wishing for something. It's found in the eternal promises that came when Jesus Christ came to this world. And when he died on that cross and rose again from the grave. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.